Amen. Well, over the last couple of months now, we've been looking at this teaching on love being the most excellent way. And I'm just going to carry on considering love, looking at how we can grow and develop in love. Now, we've seen over the last few weeks and last couple of months that there's nothing more important in the life of a Christian than that we grow and develop in the love of God. You know, the scripture says, and we've taken it as our text verse in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 31, where Paul writes, and he says, earnestly desire the best gifts. He says, and yet I show you a more excellent way. You know, love is the most excellent way. Because that's what he went on to describe in chapter 13. And, you know, we'll read that through in just a second, but just to refresh us, we haven't read it for a little while, so we'll read it again and just remind ourselves what the scripture says. But, you know, it's important that we nurture love, that we grow up in love and develop in love. And the best way, as we will see tonight, how often developing love is to put away childish and carnal things and carnal ways. But before we get on to that, let's just quickly just read through the scripture. 1 Corinthians 13, starting at verse 1, says this, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But then when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am also known. Now abideth faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Amen. You know, tonight we're just going to look at those three verses found towards the end of the chapter, which are verses 10, 11 and 12. And those verses say this, when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. You know, growing up into love, developing in love, nurturing love. That's really what the essence of the message there in verse 11, where Paul says, look, he says, when I was a child, I acted like a child. But now I've become a man, he's saying, I've grown up. And I don't do the childish things that I used to do. You know, one thing we need to remember, and we've seen it before in our studies, is that the perfect image of love is Jesus. He is love. He's God's love to us. Jesus is love in human form, love personified. and our priority and prime objective, and that of every other Christian as well, should be that we become more like Jesus. That's what we should be aiming for, to be like Jesus. That we grow up into his image. We grow up into that love which he is. You know, there's a brother, I don't know whether you know of him, but he's a preacher. His name's Creflo Dollar. And he writes in a book, actually I've taken a lot of the teaching from this book that we've been doing on this series of love, but he says in his book, he says, part-time Christianity does not work. We have been called to a higher level of existence. We can't be part-time Christians. We can't be part-time in love and part-time in hate. We can't be part-time in the world and part-time in God. We've got to be wholehearted for God. And that runs through in everything we do. We've got to do it wholeheartedly. You know, part-time Christianity doesn't work. You know, part-time loving doesn't work. If we're going to love, we've got to love all the time. You know, we saw that in one of our first studies. You know, that love is for the long haul. Love suffers long, the scripture says there in verse 4. So our priority is that we become like Jesus. That's what we should always strive after and aim towards. That in everything we do. You know, they used to wear, don't see them so much now, they used to wear little wristbands. Mainly the teenagers, but others wore them as well. And they had on them, these wristbands, the letters WWJD. And that stands for What Would Jesus Do? And the idea was that, I suppose when they got themselves into a situation, they didn't know what to do, this little wristband that they wore on their wrist, they'd see those letters WWJD, and it would get them to think, well, what would Jesus do in this situation? Because that's what we should be aiming for. You know, whenever we're faced with a problem or a difficulty, well, what would Jesus do in this situation? Whenever we want to have a go at someone and sort of run them down or knock them out, now what would Jesus do? How would Jesus act? How would he respond? And that should be our goal, our aim, to be like him. One thing that's evident in, not necessarily talking about Christianity or church, but if you just look at the natural world, one thing is evident, that babies do not become men overnight. You know, if you have a baby in the family, that baby has to develop and grow. It's not born one day and then the next day it's a fully grown adult. It has to go through the stages of development. It starts off as a newborn where it can't do anything and it's reliant on its parents for everything. You know, the only thing it can do is eat and cry and sleep. Then it gets to the stage, once it's grown through that stage and develops, becomes a toddler, starts running around and getting into everything and touching everything, and you're forever telling it, no, don't do that, because that's dangerous, that's not good for you. But they're just inquisitive, they're just trying to investigate their surroundings and see where they, whereabouts they are. That's the toddler stage, you know, into everything. Then they grow up a little bit more, and they get out of that and they get into really become like juniors. You know, and they begin to learn and grow up, and they learn the ways of the parents, and they're able to do a lot of things themselves. And, you know, when they were newborn, they relied on mum to feed it. Even at toddler age, you know, they could shove a biscuit in their mouth and everything else they could pick up off the floor, toys. And but junior age, they should be able to feed themselves, look after themselves, dress themselves. Then they get into that awful stage of childhood, which is adolescence, teenage years, where they think they know everything and they know best. Really, they know nothing. And then it's only after they've gone through those few years, the teenage years, that then they become mature adults. And even then, they've got a lot of growing up to. Even just because they get to what we call adulthood at 18, they still don't. They're not really fully matured as adults. You know, they might be, as far as the law is concerned, they might be adults. You know, they can vote, they can do lots of things, they can go to prison as well. You know, they're responsible for themselves, but there's still a lot of growing up even then that they need to do. And we're always growing, we're always developing. Even in middle age, we've still got a lot of, we can still develop and grow. And, you know, we never stop growing. We never stop developing. You know, growing into the image of Christ means that we develop his character. You know, there's always room for improvement. However good we think we are, there's always something else we can strive for and go after. Now, when the devil comes and tests us, we should use those tests as opportunities to build up our spiritual muscles. He can come and tempt us, he can come and put temptation there, but as we learn to overcome them, we learn to defeat the devil bit by bit. You know, we're building up our spiritual muscles, and we do that by walking in love. Whenever the devil comes to test us, if we walk in love, that really will strengthen us. Now, muscles only develop and grow with use. And as you walk in love, it will grow strong and come to maturity. It's the same with anything in our walk with God. Faith, it only grows and develops when we use it. Love grows by walking in it. You know, that's really, thinking about muscles, that's a good way to explain how we develop and grow in the things of God, in faith and love. Because our muscles are always there. We're born with them. You know, the baby has the muscles. You know, but and they sort of get bigger and grow with the body, but you know, you can give a child a set of weights, and he may not be able to pick them up. You can give weights to an adult, may not be able to pick them up. But you start small and you start building the muscles up, then you can lift heavy weights. And then you only do that by, they call it sort of practice, don't they? Sort of building and toning the body up, perfecting the muscles. And that's how we need to be in the things of God. We need to perfect ourselves, tone ourselves up in love, and grow up in it. In the scriptures in Matthew 22, a man came. He came and he said, "Teacher," he said, "what is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Then Jesus said something which is really interesting. He says here in verse 40, he says, "On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets." Everything God has ever said and given to us and instructed us hangs around these two commandments that we love God, and then we love one another. We love each other. You know, the whole of the law and prophets hang on this twofold commandment of love. Loving God and loving others. And how we grow in love is, the first thing we do is we develop in our love for God. We make sure he is the focus of all our attention. We love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And then we focus that love on people around us, other people. You know, we've studied these already in previous lessons, but I won't spend too much time talking about those. But that's a good way for us to start developing and growing in love. One, we begin with loving God, and then we start with loving one another. You know, as we begin to grow and mature, We grow out of things that we used to do. You know, in our reading, Paul said this. He said, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." Our spiritual maturity is determined by how we deal with those childish things. Children grow out of their childish acts. They put away their childish ways, hopefully, if they're growing properly and maturing and developing. For some it takes a little bit longer for them to get rid of those ways, but they do them. And as Christians, when Paul says about childish things, what he's talking about is carnal thoughts or thoughts, fleshly thoughts or fleshly acts. And one of the signs that we are, I'm going to use the word childish in the study, but we understand it's to do with not growing up in love. I'm not meaning that we are childish, but you know, when we find ourselves yielding to the flesh, or giving in to sort of what our flesh wants and craves, rather than doing what God wants us to, that's an indication that we are childish, or we're not walking in love. You know, that's something we need to work on and develop and grow. In Paul's letter to Timothy, he writes in 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, that we should flee youthful lusts. And these youthful lusts are childish ways. And one of the things, as we'll see, we're going to look at some of what sort of things that we class as childish in our walk with God. But those who do not show the characteristics of love are behaving like children, are childish. A Christian cannot, and this is important, this is how we grow, a Christian cannot continue to think and speak and act the same way they did before they came to know the Lord. You know, that we use this term, we use it all the time in church, that we are born again. We're born again Christians. And to be born again means that we've been born into God, or we've been born into love. Because God is love, the scripture says. We are born again into love. There has to be a change. Well, Paul writes that in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He says, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new. So we cannot be the same person. If we're the same person that we were before we were born again, then we haven't grown and we haven't developed. We're like the baby that's just staying small and never growing up. So let's look at some of the childish or immature ways that the scripture tells us about. First of all, it's very childish for us to say we don't want to grow. Or refusing to grow, refusing to go God's way. Now God wants us to develop. He always wants to bring us higher, bring us on. And there's many scriptures which talk about us growing in grace, growing in faith, growing up. Then really we're acting very childish where God's concerned. Some of the things we used to do before we became Christians, things like using profanity and foul language, you know, that sort of thing should change as we grow on in God. It doesn't always happen overnight, and you'll find a lot of new Christians, you might find they still say some things, but that causes a lot of trouble with some of the older ones, because they've grown out of it, and you know, perhaps they think, well, they ought to know better. Well, sometimes you've got to realize sometimes it's instant. Some people, they change overnight. They get saved and they're completely different the very next day. They don't swear anymore, they don't use foul language. But others, it takes a while, you know, because they've got to grow and develop, they've got to learn that their ways have to change. Then there's fornication. The Bible speaks a lot about that. You know, we can't just do what we like with our bodies. You know, because our bodies belong to God. Murmuring and complaining is another thing that we need to grow out of. We need to accept that what God says is right, without complaining about it at the moment. Maybe other people in the church, they might not go the way we, or think the way we think, or do the things that we might think they ought to do, but instead of murmuring and complaining about them, we love them. And try and bring them on. So, well, that's perhaps not the best way. And we like Paul, we say, well, I'll show you a more excellent, a better way. I'll show you a better way to do things. And there's a lot of murmuring and complaining going on in church. People not happy about this, not happy about that. And they tell everybody else, except the person that it involves. You know, that's not the way we should be. That's a childish and immature way of acting. Then Galatians lists a whole, let's read those in Galatians chapter 5, lists a whole host of what we call the works of the flesh. And these are all childish ways for the Christian, because they're all giving in to the flesh. You know, and as Christians we need to be led by the Spirit. We mustn't give in to the flesh. We've got to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh, Paul writes. And he said, the works of the flesh are these. In Galatians 5, verse 19, he says, adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he goes on in verse 22, and words, lovely words, and it's really goes with what we're talking about tonight. And he goes, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. He says, joy, peace, and long-suffering, and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, we need to be showing or portraying the fruits of the Spirit rather than the fruits of the flesh. And if we walk in the flesh, we continually giving in. Now, that's just because we might slip up and sin in an area on an occasion. That doesn't mean we're childish, but, you know, those that continually live like that, you know, they've not grown and they've not developed in love. One thing that's you see children are like this. They're motivated by selfishness. Now, what do I mean? Well, you listen to the way children speak, particularly young children. Not so much the grown up children, but really young children. They say, "That's mine. You can't have it." Especially if you want to take something away from her, or take it. No, it's mine. They say, all of it. Give me something. Give me this. Give me that. Give it to me. I want it. And these are all phrases they use. You know, that is selfishness, really. Because it's that they don't want to share. And you'll be surprised how many Christians, they might not use those words, but basically they're living lives that what we might call selfish lives or childish ways. Well, that's my job in the church. Why have they got to do it? That's my I do that. Or in other words, you know, I want give me. You know, you can see the way they act in church sometimes, you know, and it's motivated out of selfishness. You know, love is not selfish, and we saw that a few weeks back. You know, love grows out of that. You know, love, and I think you'll see it in the gospel, love is giving. And it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Love gives, it doesn't take. You know, selfishness takes and holds on to. Love gives. And sin and fear and unbelief are all based in selfishness. I want to do that because it gives me pleasure. I want to sin, I want to partake of those sins because I get pleasure from it. Not because it's wrong. We've got those feelings about it's wrong, we shouldn't do it. But we get pleasure from it. And we want to do it. Fear. Unbelief. They're all based in selfishness. And when we put away these childish things, we grow up out of selfishness. Again, if we don't make it our aim to grow, and we don't look for growth, and we don't give that objective to become more like Jesus, then it's another, it's like being selfish, and we don't want to be like that. You know, I'm quite happy where I am, how I'm living. That's a selfish thought, a childish act. But when we grow up in love, we grow out of the flesh, we grow out of carnality. You know what is? It's one of those what Paul says. He says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I spoke the way children speak. You know, give me, I want, and you can't have it. It's mine. He said, I understood as a child. I thought like a child. He said that when I became a man, I put away childish things. And when you grow up in love, you grow out of the flesh. You grow out of carnality. You grow out of those childish things into the image of Jesus Christ. And once we've matured in love, then we're no longer a child that's easily deceived. You know, I touched on this, the week before. Talking about if you remember, we looked at Ephesians 4. We looked at the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers. Or we mentioned them anyway. And in Ephesians 4 it says that these ministry gifts are given to the church so that the saints are equipped and trained for the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ so that we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. To a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should be no longer, this is the verse I want to get to, that we should be no longer be children, tossed about to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men. See, when we've matured in love, we're no longer children. We can't be deceived. We don't just go along with every new wave that comes along. Every new wave of teaching, every new wave of doctrine. You know, we've got the ministry gifts, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, there to teach us and show us how to develop and grow in love. Because when we've come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, or we've matured in love, he says we will no longer be children. We've grown out of those childish ways. You know, children, you can tell children anything and they will believe you. Well, within reason. You know, you tell a child that they can have, you tell a child that in 2 months' time we'll go to Disneyland. Now, they won't forget. And they'll believe every word you say. Now you might be messing around and just joking about with them, but they believe what you say. And they go on, they hang on every word. And that's what children are like. And you know, that's what he's saying here, that when somebody comes by and in the church and says something, we should never just take what the preacher's saying. We should always, does that agree with what God's word says? Because we can come and say anything and everything. You let people say, well, they hang on every word and they believe it. Just, you know, quite a few times when the girls were growing up, and I'd say something, I'd make a remark. That they, I'd say, well, you can't have it now, but when we get to where we're going or something, or perhaps, you know, a packet of sweets or something. You know, when we get to where we were going, or another place, or when we got home, then it might have completely gone from my mind that I'd promised them something, but they didn't forget. You know, because they believed what I said. When I said they could have it, when we got home or when we got where we were going, you know, almost as soon as we got out of the car, you know, can I have the sweets now? Can I have this now? Can I do it now? You know, we've got to mature in us so that we're no longer like the children that are easily deceived and easily led astray. But to mature in love, it will cost us something. Now, it doesn't cost us money, it doesn't cost us anything like that, but it costs us effort. We've got to grow, we've got to become proficient in it. You know, it's like practice, like singing or playing. You don't become proficient in it unless you practice and give your time to it. You know, when I was learning to play the keyboards, I spent 1 year learning with a professional teacher. But even then, I didn't know, I had a year's sort of teaching. I still had to play every day. I still had to learn, develop and grow and teach myself new things. I had the same when I was learning to play the guitar. You know, I spent months, you know, the first three, any person that plays a guitar will know this, the first 3 months of playing the guitar are the worst, because that's the painful bit, where your fingers are getting used to the strings. you can't feel your fingers because they're so numb. But even then, and even today, I'm still learning, trying to figure out new chords, new ways of playing. You're permanently growing, you're permanently practicing. And that's the only way you become proficient. You know, singing, you have to practice your voice, and practice singing, and practice the words, making sure you're right, and you've got the right acoustics in the place, and you know, your amplification's set right. And you've got to keep practicing all those things, and making sure it's right. Same in anything, if you're sort of training to run a marathon, or you know, football, or anything, you train and you practice. And that's the only way you become proficient in anything. And it's the same with love. We've got to train, we've got to practice, we've got to put in the effort to grow and develop. You know, it says here in this reading here in Ephesians 4, it says in verse 15, it says, speak the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ. You know, we've got to learn to speak the truth. We've got to do it in love. If we can speak the truth, but we can be nasty with it. You know, you get sort of, you know, women sort of, they say, you know, do you like this dress that I've got? you don't ask men those questions, do you like? Because we never get it right. We've got to pick the right answer. Is it right? Or is it, do you like the red one or the green one? We've got to learn when we speak the truth. We can say, no, it doesn't suit you at all. You know, that can cause they can get offended at that. You've got to speak the truth, but you've got to do it lovingly. You might not like the red one because you think it doesn't go suit them. You say, well, what about try a blue one? Nothing wrong with it, but it's perhaps not quite as good as it could be. Let's start learning to speak the truth. If we speak in love, speak the truth, one, it builds us up in love, and two, other people receive it better. You can go all out, all guns blazing, be nasty, and you know, immediately as soon as they put the barriers up, they don't want to hear, they don't want to know. But when you speak in love, and you live in love, they're open to your comments. They say, well, I never saw it quite like that. I've never looked at myself like that. You know, they ask for their help and they receive what you have to say. They receive the truth and it builds you up as well. Just to finish with tonight, and just want us to give some thought to this, there is a great difference between growth and development. We've been talking about growing up, we've been talking about developing, but there's a big difference between growing and developing. And you can see it in the life of a baby. First of all, we need to know this. God is responsible for our growth. God is the one who's responsible that we grow. We are the ones who are responsible that we develop. See, to grow up or growing requires no effort on our part. We do it naturally. We grow. So long as we eat right and, you know, we live well, babies grow up into adults. Now, it is possible that a baby can grow into an adult, and when it gets to 18, it can still act and behave like a two-year-old and three-year-old. Because it grows naturally. But they don't develop unless they learn to do things for themselves. They learn to tie their shoelaces. They learn to feed themselves. They learn to clothe themselves. Or then they perhaps go to schooling or get some schooling or something, some education. And they start to learn and grow up and they develop. Then they start to think like adults, think like men. And then we'd say, yes, they've matured into adults. But they can grow up and they can stay at that mental age of sort of a baby when they get to 18 if they don't develop. So growing requires no effort on our part. But development, as we've just seen, requires a lot of effort, it requires a lot of diligence, because what we do, we become proficient in. Now you can develop your love for God by practicing love on others. You know, practicing loving one another. You know, all the things that we looked at a few weeks ago. We can make it our aim not to develop in the wrong areas, but rather develop in the right things. We train ourselves. And that's what Paul said to a young pastor whose name was Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, he says this. He says, "Reject profane and old wives' tales or fables, and exercise yourself toward godliness." We train ourselves in godliness so that we become spiritually fit. You know, a bodybuilder or an athlete, you know, they train to get fit. That's how we've got to be in the things of God. We've got to train ourselves in the things of God to become spiritually fit, spiritually healthy. We don't come to church just to get an emotional high or a good feeling. A lot of people do that, you know, they got to go to church because they had such a bad week that they can get lifted. Yeah. I know we do get lifted up, we do get those good feelings when we come, but that's not the reason we come. We come to meet with God. That's our purpose for coming together. We come because we need to have fellowship with God. We need to learn, grow up in the things that God wants us to grow up into. We don't come to church to... Don't misunderstand. We don't come to church to see one another. We're coming to meet with God. And we've come into this house, gathered in His name, to worship Him. That's what we sang at the beginning. You've not come into this house, gathered in my name, to worship me. We come to worship God. You know, that's the only reason, that's the only purpose we come together. It's not so we can... And it's not wrong to do these things. It's not wrong to meet one another. It's not wrong to get that good feeling. It's not wrong to enjoy a cup of tea or something. It's not wrong to have a good time. But our purpose should be coming to meet with God. Yeah, right. Everything else that we get along with that is extra. And that's how we train ourselves in godliness. You know, we come for the right reason. The ministry gifts, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor and teacher... They're intended not to entertain us. And I've had that said many times, you know, when I've gone somewhere. Oh, you've entertained us. No, I've got no interest in entertaining anybody. Because that's not what we're about. It's not so that we can sing you a good song and so you get goosebumps all up your arms and think, well, that was, wow, that was good and wonderful. We're not here to entertain. We're not entertainers. We're not performers. You know, we're here to serve God.
Amen.
We're here to bring understanding of God's word. To equip and train everybody to work for God, to do the things of the ministry. You know, once... There are a lot of people. I say a lot of people. You know, there are people, preachers and ministers, that you're just sometimes looking at them, if you see them on telly or in church or something, really they're doing a lot of what they're doing is for show. You know, look how wonderful we are. You know, we mustn't be like that. We're not here to entertain or to build ourselves up, but to build up the church and to give service and worship and praise to God. And that's for the body. You know, if you're wanting to train for something, or you're wanting to get fit or healthy, you've got to do regular exercise. It's not good, you can't... I was talking to Joanna a couple of days... No, it was Monday, yesterday. You know, I said, because she was on about getting fit. I said, but it's no good just... If you want to try and strengthen your arms, it's no good just doing a couple of press-ups a couple of days beforehand. You've got to do it all the time. You've got to work at it. That doesn't do you no good just 2 days before you need to be ready for a match or something, and then start thinking about training for it. It's something you've got to do all the time. You know, and as you develop, and as you train, and that's what diligence means. It means to be persistent and consistent in something. And if we're consistent and diligent in love, that we'll just develop and grow. We will be trained. We'll be spiritually fit. You know, and we will reap the benefits that brings. So growing and developing in love. When I was a child, you say I spoke as a child, I thought as a child and acted as a child, but when I became a man, I put away those childish things. You know, I've grown up, and that's what we are meant to be doing in love, growing up. Putting away everything that's of the flesh, everything that's carnal. Because that's what, I'll just read these words again and I'll finish with these. It says, when that which is perfect has come. Now perfect, it's talking about love, perfect love. Then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child and thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Now, as he's talking in verse 12, he's talking about when we actually get to heaven, when we stand before the Lord and we see him face to face. Yeah, now it's just like we're looking through a piece of sort of dirty glass. You know, we can't really, you don't really get the full benefit. You know, it's like when you're trying to strain it. You ever sort of had your washers run dry when you've been on the road, in the car? It's happened to me a couple of times because I'm one for forgetting to check these things. You put your washers on, you think nothing comes out. And then you're trying to strain through a little bit of the screen. Looking through the glass, darkly. But then it says, when we get to heaven, it's going to be like clear God. We're going to see him face to face. We won't need to look through the glass, because we'll be standing face to face. And that's what we are striving for. To be like Jesus. So developing and growing in love. One, it's really it's effort on our part that we make the effort to develop and to do the things that we've been learning about in these studies. Now, God willing, there'll be just one more, which hopefully I'll do next week, and we can wrap up this whole series, unless the Lord gives me anything else to share on love, but the plan is to finish looking at love next week, so we're looking at, I think it's love the most excellent way, or something like that next. You know, without love, nothing will work in our life, because that's the main theme of next week's session. So let's just come before the Lord, we'll pray and give thanks to him tonight. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this time able to spend, Lord, just considering love. Father, we thank you, Lord, that love is the most excellent way. Lord, as we've seen all over these weeks, Lord, that the things, Lord, about love, Lord, things about you, Lord, because your word declares you are love. Lord, as we take on board the things we've heard. Lord, about what love is, how it's not rude, it's not puffed up, it's not, Lord, doesn't behave unbecomingly. Lord, it's not selfish and self-seeking, but Father, Lord, Lord, it's giving. And Lord, as we just, Lord, work towards and develop love in our lives, Father, Lord, that you will bring us on to that place, Lord, of maturity and perfection, Lord. Lord, that what we're striving for, Lord, is to be like you. So, Father, we just ask, Lord, that you just continue to write and impress this word upon our hearts. Lord, that we will grow and develop in love this most excellent way. So, Father, we just ask this in Jesus' name. Now, Father, as we dismiss, Lord, and go to our homes, just pray, Lord, your blessing will be upon us. Lord, your peace will remain on us. Lord, and keep us. Lord, until next time we meet, or until you come, whichever is sooner. So, Father, we give you praise and give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.